Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast with me, your host, Francesca. So today I wanted to talk about collagen because it is something that's been around for a good 10 years or so, but it is gaining a lot more interest and popularity in recent years or even, you know, months. And there's so much talk about it in the sort of perimenopause and menopause space, particularly on social media. And of course, so many new supplement companies coming out with, you know, different products. So I think it can be overwhelming as well. The same with all the other kind of menopause, perimenopause related supplement blends and things like that. So I really wanted to talk about collagen today in terms of, you know, how much we need, what type we need, and do we need it, and what do we need it for? Because I do think it's a little bit misunderstood. So that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. I want to break things down a little bit to help you understand collagen better and just make the best choices when it comes to choosing products to use, deciding if you want to use it and how much you'll use, and also foods to eat, because collagen, you know, we can also get collagen from our food. So let's kind of dive in. There's a lot to think about, you know, in terms of, are you taking the right kind of collagen, the right amount and the right kind for what you're specifically hoping that it's going to solve or hoping to support with it? You know, for example, is it for bones and joints? Is it for skin health or hair? Is it for all of those things? Because the type of collagen you choose is different for these things. So I hear and see a lot of people saying they're taking X type of collagen or X brand, whatever it might be, and they are taking it because they have like joint inflammation or they're trying to protect their bones. But I'm looking at that product thinking, but that's not what that's for. This is actually for skin and hair and nails. So like I say, I think there's a bit of confusion and it's a little bit misunderstood. So let's dive in. So there's something called the extracellular matrix, which is basically a network of structural proteins in the body and other molecules that surround and support your cells, your connective tissues, which includes your bones, your muscles, your ligaments, your tendons, and your skin. So this network of structural proteins and other molecules, but let's with regards to structural proteins, this isn't the same as dietary protein, right? So the food that we eat is the protein that we get from our food is the collection of amino acids that makes up a protein that we take in through our food. But inside the body, we have different what's known as proteins. And that's not the same as dietary protein. They're basically, so that sort of proteins is like a collective name for the different molecules or compounds in the body that do so many different things. It's not the same as dietary protein. So that's just the first thing to say. So structural proteins are a complex of molecules that are basically made up of certain amino acids that we get from protein foods, of course. And these structural proteins carry out lots of different functions, including structural support for the body, enzyme activity, which is important for all the different chemical reactions and processes that are happening in our body and brain all the time, and for our immune system function. So these structural proteins inside the body basically provide the body's framework and support, whilst dietary protein, so that refers to the protein foods that we eat, the protein that we get from protein foods in order to provide those amino acids to the body for those structural proteins to be able to form and do what they need to do. So these amino acids that we get from protein foods are essentially they're essential building blocks for the synthesis or the making of these structural proteins within the body. So structural proteins, they provide the body's framework and support. They form the foundation of our cells, tissues, and organs, which also includes bones, cartilage, skin, hair, nails, and so on. So collagen is one of these structural proteins. It's part of our structure, part of some of our harder tissues like cartilage and other softer tissues like ligaments, hair, and skin, for example. Collagen accounts for about 30% of the structural proteins that we have in our body. So that's a lot. You know, if you think of, we've got all these different structural proteins, and collagen accounts for 30% of them, a third. So that makes it one of the most abundant structural proteins that we have in the body. So we do definitely need it. It's made up of certain amino acids, particularly glycine, proline, hydroxyproline, arginine, and histidine. So these are just some of the sort of main amino acids that make up collagen. So a clue there is that the more, you know, good quality protein we have in our diet that contains these amino acids, so your complete proteins, good quality proteins, the more we can support that collagen production in the body. And of course, there's also the fact that we can take or use collagen supplementation to support it as well. But we'll get to all that in a minute. So as well as those amino acids I just mentioned, there are some other ones as well that make up collagen. But the one thing to note is that it doesn't have, collagen itself doesn't have the branched chain amino acids. So you may have heard these before. They're also known as BCAAs, very popular, for example, with people in the gym lifting weights, because the branched chain amino acids, they're basically three amino acids called leucine, isoleucine, and valine. These are essential for muscle growth and recovery. So the protein foods that we eat, they need to contain all 20 amino acids. So therefore, we also get these branched chain amino acids. There's some foods that are known as incomplete sources, so particularly plant-based sources of protein. Some of them are complete, like tofu, tempeh, edamame beans, soy-based protein, not processed soy, the soy-based protein like tofu and edamame beans. These are complete sources of protein, but most of your other vegetarian sources of protein are incomplete sources. So they're probably missing either leucine, isoleucine, or valine because they don't have all 20. We don't get all this, the branched chain amino acids. So that's why complete protein is really important. And so kind of went off topic there, but going back to collagen itself. So collagen has those like things like glycine, proline, hydroxyproline, arginine, and histidine, but it doesn't contain those three important branched chain amino acids. It also doesn't contain tryptophan. And all four of those other amino acids, the tryptophan and the branched chain amino acids, are, as I said, very essential for muscle growth and muscle recovery, muscle building, muscle maintenance. So for that reason, collagen doesn't fully count towards our daily protein intake. So if I say, you know, you've listened to my episodes before, I assume, and I talk a lot about how much protein we need and we should be having. So let's say, you know, have 30 grams of protein with every meal. Some people say, oh, I've had like 10 grams of collagen in a drink, and then I've had my meal, which has had like 20 grams of protein from, say, eggs and fish or whatever. And they think I've had 30 grams of protein, but collagen, that 10 grams of collagen, it doesn't count towards your daily protein intake in the way that you think it does. It's an incomplete protein because it doesn't have tryptophan. It doesn't have the branched chain amino acids I just mentioned. So for that reason, because it doesn't have so particularly tryptophan and leucine, which are crucial for muscle building and overall protein balance in the body, it cannot count towards our daily protein intake because it can't help to build or maintain muscle tissue and all of the other things that, you know, having all the complete set of amino acids is important for. So I would really encourage people to see collagen as a sort of separate, you know, supplementary intake of a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful nutrient or compound that's needed in the body, but not towards their daily protein intake. Because I hear people say, you know, I have collagen in my coffee in the morning, or I have collagen in my smoothie, so that's my protein dose, but it's not. If you want to get 30 grams of protein for your breakfast, then, you know, you'll want to eat sources of complete protein like animal foods or the vegetarian sources I just mentioned, like tofu or tempeh. You know, your eggs, a good quality protein powder in your smoothie, like a whey, or a vegan protein powder that's a blend of rice and pea protein together, which helps to make that into a complete protein powder. You'll want to have the equivalent of enough of those foods or those sources to get you 30 grams of protein. And then your collagen in your coffee or your collagen in your smoothie is just that, it's collagen. It's not going towards your daily protein intake. So I hope that makes sense. So essentially, the amino acids in collagen that I've just mentioned, they're only the ones that work on, depending on the type, your softer tissues like hair, skin, and the harder tissues like cartilage, bones, joints, and so on. So that's wonderful, but they just don't work on building muscle mass. And we eat protein, we eat amino acids in our meals each day to support muscle mass and many, many other things. But that's one of its biggest goals, particularly post 40, age 40, when muscle mass is declining more and more each year. And the loss of muscle mass is not simply about, and hopefully you know this already if you've been listening to my previous episodes, it's not only about body composition, how we look, how strong we are. Those things are important, of course, like strength. But muscle mass, you know, declining muscle mass impacts bone health, heart health, metabolic health as a whole, brain health, everything. So we really, and immune health. So we want to be supporting muscle mass every single day forever, particularly post 40 years old. So let's get back to, that's just one thing I wanted to kind of clear up. So now let's get back to collagen. So we lose collagen as we age. So the body produces less collagen, and your existing collagen breaks down at a faster rate as well. So the collagen we have is also lower in quality as well with age than when we were younger. So essentially the production of collagen in every body begins to slow down around mid-20s and then more significantly after menopause. And it's normal for everyone to experience a decline in collagen production in the body after age 60. So yeah, in your 20s, you know, up to mid-20s, you're good. You probably wouldn't be necessarily considering supplementing with collagen, but it would, as it starts to slow down around mid-20s, that would accelerate. If it then gets more significant after menopause, that also means that there's that in-between gray area where it also starts to accelerate more so than mid-20s. So again, 40 plus is when muscle loss starts to accelerate. Collagen production is probably slowing down around then as well. So that's when it is just a good time to consider, do I want to start supplementing with collagen to support those tissues, those harder and soft tissues in the body that therefore will support skin, bones, joints, etc., hair, nails. Some studies suggest a loss of up to 30% of collagen production in the first 5 years after reaching menopause because low estrogen significantly impacts our ability to make collagen. So in women who are still cycling, so still making estrogen each month, they're, you know, still going to have that natural slow in collagen production, but not the same as the person who's now reached menopause and then they've moved into postmenopause and they are no longer making estrogen. So really, it's never too late or too early to start adding it into your daily routine. And as I said, 40 years upwards is a really good time. Says me, who hasn't been taking, I'm 45 and haven't been taking collagen for, I think it's been about 3 years since I was using collagen. So definitely on my list to buy. I'm just not getting around to it, but I will. Yeah, it's never too late. It's never too early. And that way you can get to menopause and live life post-menopause, having already been supporting it for those number of years, and then you continue to support it afterwards as well. So I do think it's a great daily supplement to add in. And it's so easy because you can put the powder, you know, into your coffee, into your just water. I can put it into water and just mix it in and drink it. You can put it into smoothies. You can just add it into things. It's so easy. It doesn't really taste of anything. So let's have a look at the different types of collagen and what they're good for. So this is where you might want to take notes or sort of just pause and obviously just keep listening back where needed. But there's different types of collagen. There's about 30 different types, but you'll most commonly find types 1 to 5 mentioned on the labels of collagen products. Usually it's written in Roman numerals. Sometimes it's just numbers. So you'll usually see types 1 to 5 mentioned on the label. So let's look at the types 1 to 5, where they come from and specifically what they're good for in the body. So for example, if you've got a product at home that's type 3 and you're looking to support something else and you didn't realize, then, you know, this is going to be really helpful for you to know what you're looking for on labels. So type 1 makes up 90% of your body's collagen. So it's the kind of more common one. It's densely packed and it's used to provide structure to your skin, your bones, your tendons, your ligaments, and your organs. All very, very important things to support. So, of course, I think every product should contain type one. Type two is primarily found in elastic cartilage. So that supports joints and provides flexibility as well. So isn't that wonderful? I think type two should be in a product as well. Type three is found in the internal organs, blood vessels, muscles, and supportive fibers. And all of this basically forms a network of supporting tissue. So isn't that also really important? Type four is found in the layers of your skin. So type four would be, if you're really just focused on skin, you'd want to be looking for type four. Type five is found in the cornea of your eyes, some layers of the skin, hair, and tissue of the placenta. It's often linked with type one collagen as well. Now, so type one, you'll find in marine collagen. So where it says on the label marine collagen, that basically means fish. So fish, scales, skin, and then also beef. So bovine would be the word that you'd see on the label there. So marine would be fish. Bovine means cow. So that's beef bones, bone broth, beef that's used, made from beef bones. Type two is you'll get a mix of type one to type five in chicken, bovine, so cows, and fish and eggs. But I'm talking about the richest sources. So type one would be your marine sources and your bovine sources. Type two collagen would be chicken. So if you made bone broth from chicken bones, for example, that'd be really rich in type two specifically. Type three, again, bovine sources and fish, marine sources. Type four, bovine sources. You would still get a little bit from chicken and fish as well. And type five then is rich in the shell and the membrane of eggs from chickens. But again, you will also get a bit of type five in bovine and chicken and marine. So any sort of slow cooking animal bones and connective tissues makes this nutrient rich liquid that's packed with collagen, various types, depending on, you know, which bones you're using, glucosamine and chondroitin. So all of these are great stuff for bones and joints. So, you know, bone broth will contain types one, type two, type three, depending on the type of bones used. When I make my bone broth, so I'm basically simmering bones in stock for like 24 hours, I tend to use a chicken carcass. And then I also use some beef bones that I just get from my local butcher for some leftover beef bones. And usually they give it to you for free, or you might just give them a couple of quid for it. So I have a mixture of chicken and beef bones in there, with the beef bones being good sources of types one and three, and then the chicken being more rich in type two. So now I want to talk about the fact that there are, so those are the different types, which you'll see, you would mostly see those on the labels of the products you're using. The other thing to be aware of is that there's kind of like different forms of collagen. So you've got whole or native. It's either called whole or native. They can be used interchangeably. And we've also got collagen peptides. This is also known as hydrolyzed collagen. So you might see either collagen peptides or hydrolyzed collagen. It means the same thing. And then you might see whole or native collagen. That means the same thing. So the two things are different though. Whole or native versus collagen peptides or hydrolyzed collagen. Two different things. Whole collagen is a really big molecule that was thought to not be absorbed properly in the intestine. And so collagen peptides were formed, also, as I said, known as hydrolyzed collagen. They became the better choice as a supplement because they're broken down smaller molecules of the whole collagen. So it's thought that with them being broken down molecules of that whole collagen, we can absorb them better through the intestines, which is what we need to do in order for them to work in the body and help us, you know, increase our collagen. So whole collagen is more of a signaling molecule that tells your body not to break down the collagen you already have. So it kind of causes an immune reaction that helps send this signal to say stop to the body, to say stop breaking down or degrading the cartilage in your joints. So that's how we keep the, you know, the health and integrity and the collagen inside the cartilage in the joints. Whereas collagen peptides, that's hydrolyzed collagen, this is the broken down molecules of the whole collagen, are more the raw materials to fuel the process of cartilage repair or growth. So when it comes to collagen supplements, whole collagen usually comes in capsule form. This is what I think most people don't realize, that they're always using the peptides, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but you might need one or the other, or you might need both, depending on what you're using it for. So the whole collagen supplements usually come in capsule form, and we need less of the whole in terms of quantity. We need less of whole collagen than we do peptides. So in capsule form, you'll see on the label that whole collagen would be like anywhere between 10 and 20 milligrams of the whole collagen per capsule or serving, whether it's two capsules, one capsule. You'll see anywhere between 10 and 20 milligrams mg. Whereas in your tub of hydrolyzed collagen or collagen peptide powder, you'll see anywhere between 10 and 20 grams. So grams, 10 and 20 milligrams versus 10 and 20 grams, much, much bigger quantity than milligrams itself. So like I said, collagen peptides or hydrolyzed collagen comes in powder form, and it's usually one scoop that would give you about 10 to 20 grams. And that would be your sort of daily intake. In foods, whole collagen is found in cartilage meat, so like ribeye steak and other meat on the bones, and also, as I just mentioned, in bone broth. And that's usually type 2 collagen, which is good for joints or cartilage inside the joints. So if you're taking collagen peptides and you're with, let's say, types 1 and 2, and your reason for using it is for joint health, to stop the breakdown of the cartilage inside the joints, you want to be taking whole collagen. That's not to say you shouldn't take your collagen powder that you've got already, which might be types 1 and 3, but you also want to be taking a supplement that's got whole type 2 collagen in it, specifically for joints. So there's one that I particularly love. I'm not affiliated in any way with these supplement companies or anything, but inside my practice, the one that I love is a brand called BioCare, all one word, and it's called Joint Complex. And just as an example, in that product, the serving size is 2 capsules, and it gives you 20 milligrams of type 2 collagen, whole collagen. So I would encourage people who are looking to take collagen for their joints, cartilage, to take this particular supplement. Also has lots of other lovely things in it to support bone health. And then also use the peptides, the hydrolyzed collagen powder, on a day-to-day basis for all the other things. So, you know, you don't necessarily just want to be only using collagen peptides for your joints. If you're looking for a collagen supplement for your joints and cartilage, you do want to be using, as I said, that one that's labeled native or whole collagen, which would usually come in capsule form. I do really love that BioCare Joint Complex. So I do also, just to note, in the show notes, I have a 10% discount for the Natural Dispensary, which is essentially a practitioner supplements dispensary, and that 10% code you can use on anything that you want to purchase from that website. It's a lovely website, lots of different things on there, including food supplements, teas, all sorts of things. But there's a 10% discount code in the show notes and the link to the website. Okay, so in a 2016 study, treatment with native or whole collagen type 2 collagen at 40 milligrams a day. Remember, most supplements come between 10 and 20 milligrams. So this particular study used 40 milligrams per day. That was found to be more effective than, you know, these typical nutrients that we tend to use for joint health, like glucosamine and chondroitin. These are really popular supplements for arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. So that was really interesting. So if we're taking like the 20 milligram dose of whole native collagen in our capsule type 2, that is going to be far more effective than trying all these other kind of joint complexes that don't have this type 2 collagen in it. So let's just summarize kind of what we've talked about so far, because it's probably quite a lot to get your head around. So if you have, say, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, bone and joint inflammation, joint degeneration, degradation, or you just want to support bones and joints like I do, I don't, that I'm aware of, have, you know, particularly joint inflammation or osteoarthritis or anything, but I want to be at my age of 45 and onwards. I want to be supporting my bones and joints. That's really, really important to me, because I don't want joint inflammation or osteoarthritis, which, you know, I may have some of, but I don't want anything more. So I want to be personally taking my collagen for bones and joints, also for skin and other things too. But that's my personal main reason. Then I need, or you need, type 2, which, as I just said, is in your whole or native collagen supplements, usually capsule form or usually as part of a complex like that BioCare joint complex. It's also in cartilage meats. It's also in bone broth and any supplements labeled whole or native collagen type 2. So I'll give you another couple of examples at the end of some other products that I was looking at when I was putting this product, this episode together. As I said, bone broth using chicken bones will also give you type 2. And you can use type 2 collagen peptides as well. That's the powder form where you take usually one scoop a day, as this will give you the raw materials to support the building and repair of new cartilage, which supports bones and joints. So you just kind of want both. If you want to support bones and joints as your main reason for taking collagen, the collagen peptides type 2 on the label, look for type 2, are helpful. They're the raw materials to support that building, that repair of that new cartilage, which supports bones. But you also want the whole or native type 2, which you'd find in capsules, because that's the one that's this signaling molecule to the body to stop the breakdown of cartilage in the body, which is really what we want to be doing. So when it comes to supporting your skin, your hair, your nails, other sort of soft tissue health or soft tissue injuries like tendons, ligaments, you need type 1 and type 3 peptides. That's your hydrolyzed collagen powder that you take a scoop of every day. And you need it to be coming from cow or bovine sources or marine collagen. So that's your shellfish or fish skin or scales. So you'd look on the label for bovine or marine or a mix of both. And you're looking for type 1 and type 3. You can also use beef bone broth, which also has types 1 and type 3. There's no plant-based collagen. I believe there are somewhere in the world, there's someone working on a lab-grown version of collagen, which would make it vegan. But for now, you know, there's no such thing as a vegan source of collagen, because natural collagen comes from fish and cows and chicken and eggs. I looked online and there is like a vegan collagen, but that's just false marketing. There's no such thing as vegan collagen. What you'll see when you look at that product is essentially it's a collagen booster. So collagen booster is a complex of different nutrients like protein, probably got like some protein powder in there, vitamin C, zinc, copper, silica, hyaluronic acid. These are different nutrients that help to boost the production of collagen in the body. So these products should be called collagen boosters rather than vegan collagen, because literally they are not collagen. They are nutrients that help to boost the production of collagen in the body. So of course they can be helpful. They can be wonderful to use, but then you just need to know what you're buying. You know, it's just not actually collagen, but really helpful anyway. So in terms of how much you want to be taking every day, as I mentioned, with regards to the whole collagen, so that's your capsule form, 10 to 20 milligrams a day. But remember, that study was taking 40 milligrams a day, so you could go up. But 10 to 20 milligrams a day, or let's say 20 milligrams in capsule form, whether it's a blended form. So as an example, you don't have to necessarily buy it, but as an example, go online, look at the BioCare joint complex and have a look at the label and see what's in there and have a look at the collagen and how much is in there per the 2 capsule serving. That's essentially what you're looking for in a whole or native collagen supplement in capsule form. And then with regards to your collagen peptide powder, your hydrolyzed collagen powder, 10 to 20 grams a day. So usually a scoop is 20 grams. And that is what you would need to take per day. If you have a soft tissue injury, you want to support ligaments, hair, nails, then go for types, as I said, types 1 and type 3 in peptide form from bovine or marine sources. Again, around 20 grams each day. So I hope that just makes sense, you know, the difference between the two. Now, again, how quickly does it take to notice differences? This is a big one that I hear a lot. I've heard people say things like, oh, I've been taking it for 3 weeks and haven't noticed any difference. I don't feel any difference in my joints. I'm not going to bother anymore. Sometimes within a few weeks, we can notice differences. And that's great, because that propels us to keep wanting to take it. Sometimes it can take months. You really need to be taking it for a good 6 months before you sort of make a decision as to whether it's working for you, because it will be working for you. It's just give it time, be patient, be consistent. That's really, really essential. So give it a good 6 months and then continue long term, obviously for best benefits. It's not something you just take for 6 months and then stop. And I'm saying this to myself because I'm not taking it at the moment. I'm 45. I need to be taking it. So I'm literally writing on a post-it as we speak to buy my collagen today. So just understand that you do need to be consistent and patient when it comes to looking for benefits. A couple of cautions, just some other things to consider. If you're at risk for kidney stones, then just be aware that high levels of hydroxyproline, which is one of the amino acids we find in collagen, taken daily long term can increase the risk. But this is only if you're already at risk for kidney stones, and that's not, it's not common. So, but just to be aware. And collagen can be high in histamine. So if you're experiencing histamine symptoms, for example, since being in perimenopause, which is quite common, I'm going to do an episode on histamine soon. It's really common due to the fluctuations in estrogen, really high levels of estrogen that we see early 40s. Might want to be careful with this if histamine is an issue for you. But generally, it's okay, it's fine, it's safe. Another thing to note is that some people use beef protein isolate protein powder. I used to be one of those people years ago. I used to buy beef protein isolate as an unflavored protein powder to use in my morning smoothie to get my protein in. And I do see a lot of people still doing this today. But what we really need to know is that beef protein isolate is literally just collagen peptides. That's what it is. So all I was getting in my morning smoothie was collagen, a load of it, which is basically it's from beef. It's the collagen peptides would be type 1, type 2 and type 3. But as I said, this isn't the same as pure protein from, say, a whey protein or a protein powder that's a mix of pea and rice protein, or, you know, your animal sources of protein. It's not the same. It's not, beef protein powder is not literally a powdered form of steak. It's not made from traditional cuts of beef, like, you know, steak or burgers. Instead, it's derived from beef byproducts like collagen and gelatin, which are abundant in the connective tissues and the bones of an animal. So it's great stuff, collagen for us, for our connective tissues, but it's not, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, it doesn't count towards your daily protein intake. So just remember that if you're currently using beef protein isolate powder as part of your protein intake, that's not what that's for. So I would switch over to a good quality whey isolate if you tolerate it, or a vegetarian protein powder that's made from a blend of rice protein and pea protein. So we can also think, I've kind of mentioned this at the beginning of the episode as well, of our daily protein intakes. This is why I know I want to be supplemented with collagen. I am going to buy some today because it's been years since I was using it. But I also know that I'm supporting my collagen production in the body with all of the protein foods that I eat and the protein powders that I use, because they're helping me to build muscle tissue, support my metabolism, support my immune system, support all these different things, support my bones. But they're also working to boost my collagen production because I'm getting a complete set of amino acids in my protein foods and my meals, which also includes those amino acids that I mentioned at the beginning that we find in collagen. But I know that I could do with the extra support with more glycine, more proline and more histidine to help improve my collagen production and keep prevent the breakdown of collagen as well. It's also important to know that lifestyle factors like high stress, sleep deprivation, poor sleep, these can impact our ability to rebuild and repair connective tissue and recover from tissue or ligament injuries and make collagen. So in times of high stress or poor sleep, it can be really helpful to take collagen peptides and also some whole collagen capsules as well, like I've mentioned in this episode, to really support the fact that you're kind of going through this period of in your life where those things are kind of impacting your connective tissue. Strength training is so important for collagen turnover in the body. That's another thing I do 3 times a week consistently. So again, that's why I wasn't too fussed that I didn't have any collagen, but I do just want to have it there as an extra support. Strength training allows us to build and repair connective tissue and muscle, versus if we're doing too much HIIT, so long duration HIIT classes, spin classes, long duration cardio, running, etc. These can break down our connective tissue and muscle. So we really do want to be focusing, and I've said this so many times on previous episodes, it's all I ever say really, we just do want to be focusing on strength training more than ever now. Research shows that 2 to 3 20 to 40 minute sessions per week has been shown to support muscle building and muscle health in women perimenopause age upwards. I do 3 45 to 50 minute sessions each week that I have a personal trainer who devises those sessions for me, and every kind of 8 to 12 weeks he changes the program for me so that I'm always progressing. And I'm at that point where I don't see my PT more than once a month, because I know what I'm doing. I've had coaching over the years to get the form right and everything and how I lift. And now I don't need to, like, you know, see him for 3 times a week. I just see him once a month and we just sort of check in, and then he just, you know, tweaks my program for me. So maybe just in the beginning, you might need a strength coach or a PT that specializes in strength to help you get the form right and understand what you're doing. And then over time, you just sort of need someone to sort of program for you. So now before we finish, I'm just going to mention some products, examples, products that I have been looking at as I was putting this episode together. And just like the other, the BioCare Joint Complex, I'm by no means promoting these brands or in any way affiliated with them. These are just some examples I did when I was looking online to see what you guys might be finding when you Google collagen products. So I've picked them out just to see the different types and the forms, just to give you like real-time example of what I've been saying. So a list of some of the hydrolyzed collagen or collagen peptides. This is your powder form that I've looked at. I found Ancient and Brave powder. So as an example, this label says 100% bovine, so cows, hydrolyzed collagen peptides type 1. So this is just type 1. Vital proteins powder, hydrolyzed bovine collagen peptides. They didn't say the actual types, probably 1 and 3. You've got Bare Biology powder. This is type 1 hydrolyzed collagen peptized from marine. They use codfish skin. Bulk.com. I love that website. It's very good for unflavored protein powders. They have a type 1 and type 3 bovine, so cows, hydrolyzed collagen peptides. Hunter and Gather have a cows collagen peptides type 1 and 3. They also have another product which is just marine, so if you're someone who doesn't want to use, you know, if you're vegetarian, not vegetarian, pescatarian, sorry, then you'd go for the marine collagen type 1. Nature's Cure have hydrolyzed collagen peptides from bovine, and then the whole native collagen capsule example I already gave you was BioCare Joint Complex, and then the other one I found was Ancient and Brave Noble collagen capsules containing whole collagen, and just like the BioCare Joint Complex, per serving is 20 milligrams of whole collagen. So that's it for today. I really hope it's been helpful. I hope it hasn't been confusing or overwhelming. If you have any questions, do drop me a line. My email address is in the show notes, or you can just contact me on Instagram, DM me on Instagram if you have any questions about today's episode. If you want help with your own perimenopause journey, one-to-one help from me, you know, or you just want to improve your health and well-being just for now, for your future, or you have a specific challenge or health issue that you're working through, I'd love to work with you. All you need to do is book a discovery call with me via the link in the show notes. Fill out a short application form just so I can sort of get a gauge of what it is you're struggling with and what you're looking for. And then we can jump on a free 30-minute call just to discuss that together, see if I'm the right fit for you, if you're a right fit for me. And if we decide together that we are a good fit, we can obviously go ahead and work together. So I would love to hear from you if that's something you think you would like. So as ever, thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.